The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, but who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's lesson was the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the weeds. If we were in Colorado, I'd have a lot of good one-line jokes, but we'll let them go. At least I'll try. This parable is an admonition of not tearing out the weeds. And we can look at the weeds in our lives, not just the evil ones, but the weeds in our lives. See, there's an unwelcome growth in our so-called garden of hope. So we have that idea. Don't pull out the weeds in your own life. But yet, is the Bible contradicting itself when it says in Leviticus 20, sanctify yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. This parable at times almost seems to be a contradiction, but in reality, it's a careful balance, especially the way that we interpret it, the way that we understand it, the way that we apply it in our lives. One of the major themes is to remove the so-called ugliness in our lives. See, I love that Southern expression, don't be ugly about that. That's not used by Yankees, is it? See, I like that expression. We've got to remove the ugliness from our lives. But the text says, leave it. Now, our text is not about farming techniques, so we won't be discussing that. We're not going to talk about harming tender roots of plants, which I'm probably saying that word wrong too. All right? But it is talking about we don't need to be so concerned about society. You know, we watch the news. Aren't you convinced, or maybe you are convinced, that the world is just progressively getting worse? I'm not talking about with the virus and all. Just human behavior and what is considered acceptable now is so radically changed. The Bible says, don't worry so much about that. Matthew 13, 29 and 30 says, but he said, about pulling up the weeds, no, lest when you gather up the weeds, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the weeds and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So you don't need to be so quick to pull out that unwelcomed growth. Because whose fault is the weeds being there in the first place? Satan. Well, yes, us, but it's us because Satan's working through us to plant these weeds that we have in our lives. And what Satan's doing by planting these weeds in our life is meant to discourage us, to distract us from what really matters. Our text talks or is getting to the point of the idea, you know, let it grow. It'll be there. God will take care of it in His time. It's kind of like watering a garden. You fertilize the entire garden. You nurture it. You care for it. But when you water it, aren't you also watering the weeds? All right. Does anybody honestly have a garden at home with no weeds in it? Preston, I've missed you. I really have. All right. Normal people have weeds in their garden. No matter how hard you try, it's there. You know what? You water it, you fertilize it. In Matthew 5, we read that it shines on the just and the unjust, and the sun rises and shines on the evil and the good. The weeds are removed at the harvest time. In other words, there's going to be a day of reckoning. You know, when I look around at society as a whole today, I begin to think that more and more. I cannot possibly change it on my own. But there's a day of reckoning coming. Just make a comment. There's going to be a whole lot in Congress who are going to be crying out, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I have no idea who you are. But there is a day of reckoning coming. So maybe that's just my dark way of looking at things. All right. But in that day of reckoning, the weeds is going to be removed from the wheat and the weeds will be burned. All this happens, the separation of the weeds and the wheat, that happens when it's God's timing, not necessarily ours. You remember the parable of the sower? That some of the seeds fell on rocky ground, shallow soil. They sprung up, but they didn't have very deep roots. The sun came up, the roots weren't protected, and the plants died. To sort of apply this text, how we have the weeds in our lives. When John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to him across the Jordan River, John said these words, talking about the coming of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. John has got some pretty harsh words. Because what is he saying about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They're the wheat. They're the weeds. They're the weeds. Weeds and wheat sound too close together. I like the King James that says the tares. I like that one just maybe a little bit better. But anyway, these are the type of weeds in our life. These are the people that like to point out when you fail. They look for imperfections, and they look just to tear you down. They're trying to make you smaller than they really are. They want us to be ashamed of our own failures. Because don't we all have some not-so-pretty traits about our personality? You know the old expression, everybody seems normal till you get to know them? All right, and don't we feel guilty about some of those traits that we have? And we have a tendency to try to rip them out of our lives. And then we wonder, how did these unsightly traits ever get into my life? May I ask God, why? Why did you let me have this unpleasant trait in my life? But remember what Jesus tells us. He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The wheat are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Jesus explains his parable, Matthew 13:40-43. As therefore the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the weeds are the children of the wicked ones. And these are the ones that willfully reject the light. Because sometimes, don't we all act a little like the weeds? But it's not who we are. Okay? We are forgiven children of God. We're not perfect. Let's scale this parable down a little bit more. The weeds are sown by the devil. The weeds. These are let's call them those distracting traits within us. Things that embarrass us if the rest of the world knew about them. One of the first things to think about is this. You know when you have the ground is just beautiful, there's no grass at all, and you throw out all the grass seeds, do you realize you're also planting at the same time weeds? Isn't that amazing? You put in brand new grass, and what happens? There's weeds. How come is it I can also weed my garden? I shouldn't say I weed it. Susan does. Susan weeds it, gets it all perfect, and then 2 days later, guess what's back? I'm sorry, Ruby just had a little comment there. It was just so sweet. One of the things to keep in mind is we're not perfect. No matter how hard we try, we are not going to be perfect. You know, we give attention to our flaws. I'm not saying don't ignore the flaws. And I said this whole parable is a balance. All right? Yes, we may have to ignore a weakness within us because we got to pay attention more to something else. You spend too much time with the weeds in your life, you push out the growth that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to hear the message that he says, press on. That's what we need to keep hearing. Keep the progress going forward. Philippians 3:14 tells us, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To aim for that high calling. To work towards that goal. So we don't stop. We press on always towards that goal. And we let the Lord in His time take care of the weakness within us. Because if we try to do it ourselves, it's like this. You got guests coming over this afternoon. What did you do yesterday in your house? Cleaned. Now, I'm also willing to bet that when you have a lot of people coming over, there's one room you don't want them to go in. You know why? Because that's where you put all the junk. See, you're laughing because guess what? You can picture that room, that desk. I got a whole room. Anyway, that's my fault. All right. If our own efforts to clean up our own house, our own lives, that's what it ends up. We don't get it perfectly clean. We shove it off somewhere there, and it's still there to bug us yet another day. That's the world's idea of making things right. The Lord wants us to wait for His timing. But He also says, guard the garden. All right, we can't tear out all the sin, the weeds in our life. But we're also told in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. We do avoid chaos. We do avoid distractions. Distractions being things that pull us away from focusing on God. We pull ourselves away from the weeds. If I know I have a weakness, should I be messing with it? No. Excuse me. Guard your garden, but don't overthink it. Don't spend too much time trying to weed it. Because then, again, you lose the focus of what's important. Do you see how this balance works? You gotta take care of it. You gotta guard it. You gotta weed it. But don't weed it too much or you tear it up. It's like when you first put in that garden and you plant the seeds. Do you immediately, a week later, start weeding it? No, why not? I'm sorry, what, Gerda? How do you tell the difference at that point? It got two little leaves and a little stem. How do I know what this is? All right? That's overweeding it. You got to wait till it grows more so I can identify what's the good and what's the bad. Excuse me. In Matthew 7, it says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity, fancy word for sin. And the key part of that is you who work sin. These are the ones that try to convince us that sin is good. It's what St. Paul warns us that it's Jesus who warns us that the day will come when they will call what is bad, good, and what is good, bad. Isn't that exactly what we see in the world today? Behavior that we Christians know is wrong. The world keeps telling us it's right, it's natural, it's normal. Those are the ones that are working iniquity. Now, difference between working iniquity and not being perfect. Working iniquity, as I said, is leading others to sin. God accepts imperfect people. Thank God for that. Because guess what? We're all imperfect people. Not one of us here is perfect. Not one of us is good on our own. So we're really weeds. But Christ makes us the wheat. In 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the fountain of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that belong to Him. And let everyone that claims the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sin is something that we try to avoid in our lives. We can't live with it. But sometimes we have troubles recognizing the wheat and the weeds, so we leave it alone and let God weed it in His time. Back to the parable of the sower of the seeds, a different one. But others fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's just focus in conclusion on the good ground. The good ground that is in all of us. That's what we need to give attention to. That's what we need to focus on. Not focus on the weeds in our lives so much as focus on what is good. Having an ear to hear is so important. We hear the words of God, but we need to put them into play or put them into effect in our life. God will show us how He wants us to go. He wants us to grow in the Lord. He wants us to grow closer to Him. He wants us to strengthen that bond of trust and love for Him. The weeds, you know what? If you focus on God, growing in the Lord, guess what dies of neglect? The weeds. You want to get rid of the bad in your life, just keep focusing on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then the weeds in your life will wither. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.